Hello, and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. You could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.
The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. Today on the Dad Show, we're talking with Jason Mitz about his November extended family trip to Walt Disney World. Hey, Jason.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. It's just you and I tonight. And want to talk a little bit about your trip back in early November 2013.
All righty.
So this was a big group trip, right?
Yeah. We had 24 of us. We had about seven different families. This was the trip where this was going to be the once-in-a-lifetime trip involving my wife's family and her parents and my family and my parents. And we all went down at the same – not at the same time. But we were all at the park together at the same time.
Okay. And so for your part of this, how long were you at Walt Disney World?
7 days.
Okay. So it's a seven-day trip. Did you do any of the other things around Orlando, or was it just Disney World this time?
Nope, we just stuck with Disney World.
All right. So you've got this big group. Let me ask you first, you know, from the planning standpoint, how did you handle coordinating such a big group for a trip like this?
This is where Scott Henney's family and my family, we got together because we'd been there before. And we started planning another trip. And we knew that we were going to take a trip. And then we started talking about including my in-laws and my parents for our kids, because it was going to be not just an adult trip. And then it kind of sprung out into the method of madness here, where we started involving everybody. We thought, you know what, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime deal. And so we started to kind of plan, and it took us 2 years roughly to plan this out.
Wow.
And to we tried to make it as clear as possible to everybody that it's not that we're going down there as a group of 24. It's going to be that we're all going to be at Disney World at the same time. Let's try to run into each other. Let's try to set up dinner reservations where we can sit down and eat, you know, and this type of thing. And that's kind of how we did it.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. You weren't going to try and tour the parks in, you know, a Brazilian tour group, you know, pod. But you were going to try and meet up and kind of, you know, coordinate throughout. So you were there for 7 days. How many days did you manage to get a group meal together?
We only did one big group meal where my family and Scott Henney's family and our parents, we were at Boardwalk, and we rented DVC points. And so we had everybody converge there, and we got pizzas from the Boardwalk Pizzeria. And we sat out on the kind of the veranda or the porch area of the Boardwalk, and everybody kind of had a chance to get together, kind of talk a little bit and laugh and have a little bit of fellowship time there. But then you know, when we were done, you know, people were coming from parks, and then everybody had plans that evening. And so after we had a meal and had a time to kind of catch our breath for a little bit of catch-up time, we all went our separate ways, or, you know, groups of us went to see the Osborne Lights, or this, that, or the other. And the rest of the time, meals were kind of planned with grandparents or that type of thing.
So you, that was great. So it was really casual. It was easy for people to come and go. And, you know, that you were out at the on the boardwalk area. So, you know, you didn't have to worry about kids getting bored while 20 people or 24 people, you know, got their food and all of that and finished eating, because there were things to distract kids and keep people's interest. And you weren't, you know, stuck inside in a restaurant in a booth or at a table and worrying about keeping everybody sort of focused on your meal, which is really hard to do with a big group and a lot of kids.
Sure. And like I said, we had pizza, so the kids were fine with that. The adults sucked it up, and we know we ate pizza. But since my two girls were the only ones that had been there before, and we had you know, quite a few other kids there, it was their first time, so there was a lot of excitement, a lot of talking about what'd you do today versus what'd you guys do today and that type of thing. So it really kept it really fun and light.
Nice. So you planned roughly, you know, let me just try and summarize a little bit. You know, you planned sort of your own family's trip, which was a 7-day trip, and then, you know, coordinated here and there with other elements of the family to join up with you for this thing or that thing. So when you planned that 7 days for yourself, you know, what was your process there? Did you have particular targets going in, or how did you put together those 7 days?
Well, since my family and Scott's family are kind of the Disney people, we wanted to make sure, and like I said, we had 2 years going into this, and we had to slowly kind of draw people into it, and, you know, what would you think about this, or are you interested in this or that? And we really kind of sat down and did a lot of just conversational, you know, have you ever thought about Magic Kingdom, or what were the things that you can't miss, or what were the things that you'd like to see? And then we kind of helped our in-laws kind of plan their trips, just helping them, you know, guiding them along, because it is such an overwhelming ordeal for people that haven't been there before. And so we knew what we wanted to do, and Scott's family and my family, we knew we wanted to be in the boardwalk area, or, you know, in that around that lagoon, and that we have favorites that we hit. Like Beer Garden from our family is a big deal, and Wishes and Things, which is another gathering. We all did manage to gather for Wishes one night at the Magic Kingdom. But otherwise, we just kind of let people kind of find their own flow and find what they wanted to do, you know, so it wasn't so tight and rigid and restricted as to what you had to do with your time.
All right. Well, so take me to the beginning of your trip. You and your family, you know, you leave your home. You're in Iowa, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're in Iowa. You take the trip. Did you drive or fly?
We flew.
Okay.
We got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and flew out of Moline to Chicago. And we were at O'Hare. We was planned for a 2-hour and 45-minute layover. That got stretched into about a 3-hour and 20-minute because we had to wait for an aircraft. But we still got to Orlando in a decent amount of time. Now, my family took a town car service, and Scott's family, we all flew together with my parents and my in-laws' parents. And so they took Magical Express, and we took the town car service, and we still arrived at the Art of Animations, where we stayed for one night. And we got there within about 20 minutes of each other.
Okay. So that's really interesting to me that transportation wise, you know, you got the chance to test out whether Magical Express or town cars is faster to get you to Walt Disney World. And it turned out, you know, it was about even.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, when we were in the van, because we had such a large group, we started talking about it because I appreciate the business sense of Disney. And the reason that there's a difference in time is because Disney doesn't take you past SeaWorld and some of the other places that could potentially draw business away from Disney.
Interesting.
So the town car takes a more direct route, and the Magical Express takes you kind of the scenic way to your destination.
Huh. I hadn't noticed that. I mean, I've gone both ways and just didn't register. All right. So you did that one night at Art of Animation. Mm-hmm. First of all, what did you think? It was would have just opened really probably a month or so before you stayed there.
Yeah, it hadn't been open very long, and we stayed in a Lion King suite. With my mom and dad and our kids. And then the other parties stayed over at the Nemo portion of the resort.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. You know, I know that it's maybe like a value resort or it's classified in, but, you know, I don't want people to think that value resorts aren't great resorts. You know, I mean, there always seems to be this, I don't know, some people think of the value versus the moderate versus the high-end, whatever
deluxe,
they call it.
Deluxe.
Deluxe, yes. I tell you what, you can't go wrong staying anywhere. And these resorts are colorful. If you've got a family that enjoys Cars or Finding Nemo or Little Mermaid or Lion King, these rooms and the courtyards are spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. That's always been the sense from the pictures. And it's nice to hear that it looks as good in person. You know, it's not just a matter of forced photographic perspective and that kind of thing, that they really pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you had that first night at Art of Animation. Did you do anything in particular that night or just kind of take it easy back at the resort?
We actually took it kind of easy. You know, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning isn't
sure.
Normally, I don't.
That's kind of what I was figuring. I couldn't blame you.
I was pretty wiped out by the end of that, to be honest. But then the next day, we took Bell Services got our things over to the Boardwalk Resort, and we checked in there at one of the DVC villas, and we waited for our grocery order, which we had placed. That showed up in a very timely manner. We got that sorted out. Everybody got their order to their rooms or whatever, and then it was go time as far as the parks.
Okay. And so what park did you all start out at?
Epcot.
Okay. And any particular reason you chose Epcot for your first day?
Yeah, we had reservations at Beer Garden. And so my mom and dad and my wife's mom and dad and we all gathered there and enjoyed the show and started our vacation off right. It's kind of a tradition with us. We always start at Beer Garden. And plus the Food and Wine Festival was going on, so we took part in a little bit of that. And, yeah, we just started having fun from minute one.
All right. And if you had to pick, you know, a highlight of the day at Epcot with the group, what was your highlight?
You know, I think the highlight for me was seeing my kids getting back to Epcot and then seeing the differences in it with the Food and Wine Festival and then seeing, you know, my in-laws seeing it for the first time. And they're, you know, I think anytime anyone goes there for their first time, their sense of wonderment is like, you know, they had no idea it was that big,
right.
That there were that many interesting displays or, you know, through the World Showcase, the different buildings and the, you know, things like that. That to me is pretty cool.
All right. All right. So, your first day is at Epcot. You have dinner together, right? At Beer Garden.
Yep.
Did you stay for fireworks the first night?
No, we didn't. In fact, we didn't go to Illuminations any night because our balcony where we stayed, our room, actually had a pretty good shot of it from there. We could see.
Nice bonus.
Yeah, it was actually kind of nice.
So you went back to your resort. You were able to watch Illuminations from the balcony. It sounds to me like a great way to end your evening. and the next morning, where do you head out?
It was Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just kind of a rip and tear through Magic Kingdom with the kids. And, you know, even though we were there with a group, we did run across my in-laws while we were there. But, you know, we're all at Disney World at the same time, but we weren't doing everything together. So my family, we just attacked it and did as many fun things as we could, you know, from all the big name rides. And we went through the new Fantasyland and were able to get back. That wasn't really open.
It was kind of soft opening around that time. They were letting people in to see parts of it, and some of the attractions were opening for maybe a few hours at a time.
Well, we got turned away at first, and then when we came back late, for the Christmas party. We had tickets to the Christmas party one of the days, and then they let you go back in there and do whatever you wanted.
Oh, interesting. I guess that makes sense because they had a little more control over the size of the crowd that way.
Sure. Yep.
All right. So, but on that first day of Magic Kingdom, again, let's kind of give it a summary. You know, what was the highlight of that Magic Kingdom day?
Magic Kingdom day. What was nice was the fact that the lines weren't, there wasn't a tremendous crowd there. And I was a little disappointed that Splash Mountain was down. It was down for a couple of days during the trip when we were there. But everything else was up and functioning. We got to go over, and the highlight had to have been the new Dumbo setup back in the corner there.
Right, yeah, in the new Storybook Circus area.
Yes, yep.
Okay, and did you, was that night you all did wishes together?
Yeah, I believe it was, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we all met just outside of Tomorrowland entrance there, and we watched the wishes with all of us and got our pictures taken. You know, the PhotoPass people were very helpful, and we got those once-in-a-lifetime shots that I think if you go with a big group like that, that's what you're looking for, and we were able to accomplish that goal.
Great, great. So after wishes, you head back to Boardwalk, and what's on tap for day four?
Hollywood Studios.
Okay. And was there anything in particular about Hollywood Studios that you were looking forward to?
Yeah, we were looking forward to Fantasmic with everybody, hoping to get into that, to Fantasmic, and then also to see Osborne Lights.
Okay. And was this an early morning at Hollywood Studios, or you get over there a little later?
No, we got over there a little bit later. In fact, we went over there, and we did all the major rides, you know, Tower of Terror, and I rode Star Tours, I think, six or seven times, and Toy Story Mania, you know, and things like that. And we went through there, and then we came back for a while, rested after, well, we went to the Indiana Jones stunt show, I guess. Then we came back and did a little bit of pool time, and then we also had the dinner with everybody, and then we went back that night and caught Fantasmic and the Osborne Christmas lights.
Okay. Sounds to me like it must have been a fairly low crowd level day if you got all that done, even though you didn't get there right at rope drop.
Yeah. And the, you know, it's interesting when we talk about rope drop at Hollywood Studios, it seems to have changed a little bit.
Yeah, it has. It has.
Because they don't put on a production anymore. They basically, they hold you back by the ticket gates, and then they let you in kind of early.
Yep.
Like maybe 10 or 15 minutes early, and I think that avoids the rush to Toy Story Mania, I think is what they were, maybe what they're hoping. You know, maybe you
right. I think that's exactly what's going on, because it's almost like a random soft opening of Hollywood Studios. It's not, you know, when they say it opens at 9 a.m., what it really means is that they're going to open the gates sometime between like 8:40 and 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they'll start to let people, you know, filter in around that time. And I think that is the idea, that it would, you know, keep the Toy Story Mania stampede from happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you ask me, I think the better plan would be to put a real e-ticket attraction on the opposite side of the park so that you divide the crowd a little bit. But, you know, this is a Trip Report show, not a Blue Sky show, so.
Yes, sir.
All right. So this was the night of your pizza dinner where you had everybody together.
Yep.
So you did the pizza dinner. You went back for Fantasmic. How early did you get there for Fantasmic?
We got there right as the line was already down through the shopping area of that street that runs the Tower of Terror. Its name escapes me. Is it Hollywood Boulevard or Avenue?
Sunset Boulevard, I believe.
Sunset Boulevard, yes. And so we got there, and the line started moving, and the thing is with Fantasmic, there's no bad seat in the house.
Right.
So we got there kind of late. We went in, sat down, the show started in like 5 minutes, and we enjoyed a tremendous show. The kids went crazy. It was the best thing they'd ever seen. I've seen it before, but I still enjoy it. And we got done, and then it was time to go back to the resort.
All right. So it's good to hear that, you know, even though you weren't there an hour early, and even though, you know, you didn't necessarily get you didn't worry about a dinner package or anything to get great seats, you really still were able to find a good place to sit with everybody all together and to enjoy the show. So
absolutely.
That's great to hear. All right, so that was day four was Hollywood Studios. Where'd you go for day five?
We went to the Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
And Animal Kingdom is typically not my favorite park.
Right.
You know, they're not open late. They don't seem to I don't know. It just seems like they've got – like they don't know what they're doing with it, maybe, or they're trying to figure it out, you know. And maybe it's because I'm not crazy about the Avatar part of it that's in the future or whatever. But I got to tell you, this trip, it really impressed me. We really had a great time.
Okay, so what about it made you feel differently about it?
Well, the fact that, like, we got there right as it opened, you know, for rope drop, and we went on Everest, and we went over that three or four times. Lines weren't terrible. And then we went over to Dino Land, which, again, not my favorite part of the park, but my kids really enjoyed some of the roller coasters and the little things in there. And I guess, you know, as an adult, you're thinking, gosh, I'm spending a substantial amount of money on Disney, and we've traveled a long ways, but you want to play carnival games or this type of thing. You know, you get to the point where it's like, hey, you know what? Be a kid, have fun, you're on vacation, knock it out, you know, and just get her done. And that's what they did. And then we went over to the safari, and that's usually kind of blah to me. I'm not really impressed, but this time there were animals really close to the bus or the truck. There was a big giraffe and a smaller giraffe, like a youngling or whatever.
Right.
I don't know what you call a baby giraffe, but, they about stuck their heads right into the cab of where the people were sitting. And I thought maybe that was odd, or maybe they were over some kind of fence they shouldn't have been or something. But they, you know, and all the kids that we had with us, they thought that was awesome. And
sure,
you know, geez, that was pretty cool. You know, and when you get around the parts where the lions, you know, they keep those same two lions up on top of that hill, and they must have like a 6-foot by 5-foot enclosure of some kind where they just sit there. But they were up moving around.
Oh, wow. You actually saw moving lions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for a safari, you know, it was kind of neat. And
that is nice. Well, I think part of the problem with the lions is that people forget, you know, animals have natural rhythms that don't necessarily match ours.
Sure.
And lions are just really big cats. And if you think about it, what do your cats do when you're not home? Most of the time.
Yeah, lay in the sun.
They lay in the sun and nap. And then they prowl around at night. Unfortunately, Animal Kingdom closes, you know, at the latest at 8 o'clock. And by the time the lions are ready to get up and play, nobody's in the park anymore. All right, so I'm glad that you got to see a different side of Animal Kingdom and feel a little differently about it. If you had to pick a highlight, what was your favorite part of that day in Animal Kingdom?
You know, I think my favorite part was the Everest, and the reason was this. I have a nephew who has autism, and his folks got him through Disney. Of course, they're like a pass.
Right, so the guest assistance card.
It's a guest assistance card, and the cast members were, you know, always, you know, hey, come on through. Don't worry about it. And he was able to get on and really enjoy Everest. And to me, that I thought that was pretty awesome. And that was the highlight of that for me.
Okay. And do you remember what you did that evening? Did you do anything special, you know, at the end of the day?
Yeah, we went back over to Epcot, and we kind of split up into groups. That, you know, at that point, the trip's, you know, 4 or 5 days into it, and it's time to maybe separate and that type of thing.
Sure.
You know, little pieces. So my oldest daughter and my dad and I went over to Epcot, and for supper that night, we sampled things from the Food and Wine Festival.
Nice.
And, yeah, we burned through some snack credits, I'll tell you what. It was,
it's the best way to use them, though.
Oh yeah, man, it was great. It's the first time I'd ever been to it, I wasn't full or I wasn't hungry when we left. I'll tell you that.
All right, so at this point, you've done 5 days of Disney. You've hit all of the parks, and you've still got two days left. So what do you do on day six?
Day six again, Magic Kingdom.
Okay, and so this would have been the day. Is this also the day that you all went to the Christmas party together?
Yep, that evening, and we went there all day, and then that night we came back and did the Christmas party, and we've done the Halloween party 3 or 4 times, and we were anxious to see this. It is it's pretty cool. The decorations, of course, are amazing, and the characters are out in full force. The parade is just – it's really cool, you know, and of course the marching soldiers and everything, and the fact that they can make it snow on Main Street USA, you know, granted there's a lot of people, but it was great. And my kids and my parents really were had their doors blown off. It was pretty awesome.
Okay, now since you're one of the people who's been to both Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and the Christmas party, you gotta get your vote in here on the debate, because we had a pretty hefty debate about this some time back. Which is better, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party fireworks, or the Boo to You, and well, that's the parade, but the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party fireworks, the Hallowishes fireworks, or the Holiday Wishes fireworks?
As far as fireworks, the Christmas ones are superior, and the show that they do on the that they project onto the castle with the animation and everything. I felt that was different than something I'd seen before, especially, and, granted, I'm not a computer fella. I'm not anything like that. So to see how they do that, and the projector was actually right behind us when I was standing there with Scott Henney and his wife, and we watched that and our jaws just dropped. It was fantastic.
And so was it the projection show with the fireworks that made that show stand out to you, or were the fireworks themselves that much more impressive?
The fireworks themselves stand alone were much more impressive.
Interesting. And what about them was so impressive?
I don't know if it was the music or if it was the colors or the way that they – maybe it was because we were in a different location. We were over by the stand where you could get the waffle sandwich.
Okay. So you were over in Liberty Square watching fireworks.
Yeah, Liberty Square. And it was just – it was cool. It was different than the Hallowishes. I felt that the Halloween ones are more orange and yellow and purple and green, where these were more red, green, white, spark, a lot more of the kind that shoot off stars and things okay. like that. And it was good. I felt they were superior.
Okay. And so then you had one day left. And that was presumably your departure day. Were you able to get in any park time before leaving, or was it just a kind of a pack up and head back?
It was a kind of lounge by the pool day and get ready to go back. And by the end of the trip, everybody was pretty run ragged, and it was time to get back on a plane and get back to Iowa, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. So looking back, I guess what I would ask first is what's the best piece of advice you would give to somebody who is looking to plan a big family vacation like this?
My best piece of advice is if you've got multiple families, try to plan it in this way that you're all going to be there at the same time, but each family should try and enjoy their vacation separately with small places or small times to meet up, either for a meal that's not like a sit-down meal. Maybe you can do a counter service or something, or like what we did on the boardwalk where you can just get some pizza and kind of sit there and enjoy some time together. And to not be afraid by sheer numbers, but to have the realization you can't go through as a tour group.
Okay. And what was one thing that you did that you regret now looking back at it? Any mistakes?
Mistakes. I really can't think of anything that we did that we were disappointed in or anything like that. I guess I would say though, you gotta watch when the parks start to shut down. Like the problem we ran into was my mom and dad had the girls at Magic Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios shut down. It seemed to me like at 4 o'clock or. It seemed to be different or oddly early, I think because they were finishing up or finalizing Osborne Lights perhaps, but then Magic Kingdom got overrun, and they said they waited for 2 hours for Big Thunder Railroad, and that they had difficulty getting up and down Main Street USA because of the crowds.
Right. So you got to watch for those dynamic crowd changes when schedules get altered. All right. Well, great bit of advice. Glad you had a great trip. And thanks for sharing.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for The Dad Show. We'll be back on Sunday with the panel show, talking about traveling to Walt Disney World with teens.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.